Hello, 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 geeks, freaks, and tomb dwellers, and welcome to yet another episode of Tombs of Horror. As always, I'm your host, Dustin. Before we kick things off for this episode, I just wanted to make two announcements. On May 21st, my part-time co-host, Animus Morgue, or Jerry Hartman, will be taking control of the podcast for an episode and interviewing both myself and AK Herrera, or who is in Entropy in Motion. He was on this podcast last episode for the 1 year celebration. So yeah, Jerry will be taking control of the podcast for that episode. Not really sure what kind of shit he's gonna ask us, but I'm sure it'll be entertaining like it always is with him. And my band, Raped by Wolves, also has a new album coming out. It should be out tomorrow, which is Sunday at the time of this recording. So yeah, it's called Borderline Inappropriate. So keep an eye out for that on Spotify, YouTube, and every other major music streamer. So for this episode, I thought I'd talk about some classics, a classic franchise, actually. In my opinion, like, the first two movies are really the only great movies in it, but a lot of people like all the other movies as well, so what the fuck, I'll talk about it. That is the Phantasm franchise, which started out in 1979 with Phantasm 1.
Phantasm. Is it a nightmare? Phantasm. Is it an illusion? Phantasm. Is it an evil? Is it a fantasy? Phantasm. Is it alive? This one doesn't scare you. You're already dead. Phantasm.
For those who are unfamiliar with this franchise, this first movie isn't called Phantasm 1. I don't know why the fuck I called it that. It's just Phantasm. So yeah, ignore me calling it Phantasm 1 like a fucking retard. But anyway, while engaging in sexual intercourse in Morningside Cemetery, Tommy is stabbed by the lady in lavender, who is actually the tall man, who is played by the late, great Angus Grimm, the Morningside Mortician, in another form, as this will be revealed later on. At the funeral, Tommy's friends, Jody and Reggie, believe he committed suicide. Jody's 13-year-old brother, Mike, however, secretly observes the funeral and sees the tall man placing Tommy's heavy casket, seemingly with little to no effort, back into the hearse instead of completing the burial. Later, Jody is seduced by the lady in lavender and taken to the cemetery to have sex. However, they are interrupted by Mike, who has been following Jody and has been driven out of his hiding place by a short hooded figure. Mike tries to tell Jody about the hooded figure, but Jody dismisses the story as bullshit. Mike Mike then leaves to investigate further. At the mausoleum, Mike narrowly avoids a bladed silver sphere flying through the air. He's confronted by a caretaker, but escapes after the sphere impales itself on the caretaker's skull and drills into his brain. Mike then flees the tall man, and as Mike slams a door to get away, the tall man's finger gets caught and then cut off, but continues to move, dripping yellow blood. Taking one of the fingers with him, Mike escapes the mausoleum. The still moving finger is enough to convince Jody about Mike's stories, and Jody decides to bring the finger to the sheriff, but it transforms into a flying insect. Reggie, who witnesses a finger-turned insect attack them, joins the brothers in their suspicions. Jody then goes to the cemetery alone, but is chased away by dwarves and a seemingly driverless hearse. He is rescued by Mike and Jody's Plymouth Barracuda, and running the hearse off the road, they discover that it was driven by one of the hooded figures, a reanimated and shrunken Tommy, whom they hide in Reggie's ice cream truck. Because that's, you know, a good place to hide your once-thought-dead but apparently recently resurrected as a midget fucking friend. Reggie and Jody resolve to defeat the tall man, while Mike is hidden at an antique store owned by Jody's friends Sally and Sue. There, Mike discovers an old photograph of the tall man and insists on being taken home. On the way, Mike, Sally, and Sue come across the ice cream truck, which is now overturned. They are then attacked by a mob of hooded dwarves, and Mike manages to escape, presuming the girls and Reggie are now dead. Jody then goes to the mausoleum to kill the tall man. Mike, who is locked in his bedroom for safety but escapes, runs into the tall man, who is waiting for him outside his front door. He kidnaps Mike in a hearse, but Mike escapes and causes the hearse to strike a pole and then explode. Looking for Jody in the mausoleum, Mike is targeted by the silver sphere until Jody destroys it with a shotgun, and then together with Reggie, they enter a brightly lit room, which is filled with canisters containing more dwarves. Mike then catches a brief glimpse through a portal, seeing a red hot world where the dwarves are toiling as slaves. A sudden power outage then separates the trio. Left alone in the room, Reggie activates the portal, creating a powerful vacuum from which he narrowly escapes. In the oncoming storm, Reggie is stabbed by the lady in lavender, while Jody and Mike flee and the mausoleum vanishes. Jody then devises a plan to trap the tall man in an abandoned mineshaft. The tall man then attacks Mike at home and chases him outside, where he eventually falls into the mine shaft and is buried under an avalanche of rocks triggered by Jody. After this, Mike wakes up in his bed, still worried about the tall man. Reggie, still alive, tells Mike that he has had a nightmare, and that Jody died in a car wreck, and proposes a road trip. When Mike enters his bedroom to pack, the tall man appears and hands crash through the bedroom mirror, pulling Mike inside as the movie ends. A bit of behind-the-scenes info that I found about this, or that I found interesting about this, is that after being intimidated by Scream on the set of a previous film, Don Coscarelli, who would later go on to greater fame with the Child's Play franchise, or wait, that was Don Mancini, never mind, but anyway, Coscarelli decided that Scream would make a great villain. Initially, Scrim had little input into the character, but he made more of a contribution as Coscarelli began to trust his instincts. And Scrim was outfitted in lifts and a suit too small for him in order to make him seem even taller and skinnier than he really was. This has rightfully become a classic, a cult classic, actually, and I enjoy it immensely. It is kind of cheesy, and the special effects are really kind of lame, but I mean, this was made in 1979, so you can't expect them to be mind-blowing. The acting kind of leaves much to be desired 90% of the time, but again, that's due to a mostly pretty young cast. But if this is something that you've never seen, I highly recommend that you see it. Like I said, it's a cult classic and rightfully deserves to be one. This had a budget of $300,000 and would bring in $22 million at the box office. IMDb gave it a 6.6 out of 10, Rotten Tomatoes a 74%, Letterboxd a 3 out of 5, and I give it a 4.5 out of 5. And that leads us into the first sequel, 1988's Phantasm II.
The delusion of a disordered mind. A phantom. A spirit. A ghost. For 10 years, the secret of Perigord Cemetery has remained a mystery. Now, three innocent people are about to discover the ultimate evil.
You think that when you die, you go to heaven? You come to us.
Liz Reynolds is a young woman whose psychic bond to Mike Pearson and the tall man manifests in the form of nightmares that become real. Liz pleads for Mike to find her, as she fears that when her grandfather dies, the tall man will take him. The scene then transitions where the first film left off, with the tall man and his minions attempting to kidnap Mike, but Reggie manages to save him by blowing up the house. It is now 1986, and after being institutionalized for 7 years, Mike, now 19, has faked his recovery to get released. That night, he returns to Morningside Cemetery, where he proceeds to dig up graves. Reggie interrupts him and explains that what happened in 1978 and the tall man were not real. In response, Mike reveals all the coffins he exhumed are empty and urges Reggie to help him hunt down the tall man. En route to Reggie's house, Mike has a premonition and frantically tries to warn Reggie seconds before an explosion kills Reggie's entire family. Convinced by Mike's precognition, Reggie agrees to accompany Mike. They break into a hardware store and stock up on supplies and weapons, and then travel northwest country roads. They encounter abandoned towns, pillaged graveyards, and a few of the tall man's traps. One being the apparition of a young woman's naked corpse. A gruesome encounter with a creature resembling Liz then leads them to travel east towards the town of Perigord, Oregon. Meanwhile, Liz's grandfather dies, and her sister Jerry disappears during a funeral. While searching for Jerry, Liz finds a tall man and runs away. The presiding priest, Father Myers, maddened with fear and alcoholism, desecrates the grandfather's body with a knife in a desperate attempt to thwart its reanimation, but the corpse rises and kidnaps Liz's grandmother. In the morning, Liz finds a funeral pin in her grandmother's empty bed, and the tall man physically tells Liz to return at night if she wants to rescue her grandmother. Prior to their arrival in Perigord, Mike awakens to find that Reggie has picked up a hitchhiker named Alchemy, who eerily resembles the nude apparition that they saw earlier. They then find Perigord deserted and dilapidated, and when Liz arrives at the mortuary, she is confronted by Father Myers, who tries to convince her to escape with him, but he is killed by a flying sphere. She then encounters a tall man and discovers that her grandmother is now one of his lurkers. Liz manages to run away and runs into Mike in the cemetery. Later that night, the tall man catches Liz and drives away in his hearse, with Mike and Reggie chasing after him. After the tall man runs them off the road, their car explodes. Meanwhile, at the crematorium, Liz is taken to the furnace room by the tall man's mortician assistants, but she manages to escape and sends one into the furnace. Mike and Reggie then break into the mortuary and find the embalming room. While Reggie pours acid into the embalming fluid, Mike discovers a dimensional portal that requires a sphere to open it. They then split up to find Liz. Reggie searches the basement, where he fights off a graver and several lurkers with a chainsaw and quadruple shotgun. After this vicious fight, Reggie castrates the graver to death and guns down the lurkers. Mike manages to save Liz from a silver sphere, and when it becomes embedded in the wall, they use it to access the portal. Before they can destroy the building, however, the tall man surprises them, but they manage to fight him off and pump him full of the acid-contaminated embalming fluid, which causes him to melt. They then set the building on fire, escape, and are greeted by Alchemy, who has procured an abandoned hearse. As they ride off, Alchemy reveals herself not to be human, and the hearse swerves wildly, then stops. Reggie, bloody and battered, falls to the ground, and Mike and Liz, trapped in the hearse, try to convince themselves that this is all just a dream, but the slot to the driver's cabin opens and reveals a tall man, who tells them, no, it's not. Hands break the rear window and pull Mike and Liz through it, mirroring the ending of the first film, and this one ends. If you happen to come across this on, like, say, TV around Halloween time, because some channels have a habit of running a marathon of these movies, and you've never seen the first film, don't worry. It pretty much does a recap of everything at the beginning of this movie from the first movie. Instead of sticking to straight horror, Phantasm 2 pretty much does what every other movie that was becoming a franchise was doing back then, and pretty much steered away from the horror and made this kind of more of like an action flick for some reason. I'm not really sure why they made that decision. Maybe to try to draw in a bigger audience. I'm not really sure. Sometimes it works and other times it doesn't. It's just kind of a different direction from the first one. So if you're a big fan of the first one like I am, this first sequel might seem a little disappointing to you, but it's kind of made up for with Angus Grimm's performance once again as a tall man. He is pretty fucking creepy, and while he never really has a whole lot of dialogue in either the first movie or this one, he still manages to be quite the imposing figure and pretty menacing without even having to say a word. This had a budget of $3 million and brought in $7 million at the box office. IMDb rated this a 6.4 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 38%. Letterboxd a 2.5 out of 5. And I give it a 3 out of 5. And that leads us to the next sequel, 1994's Phantasm 3, Lord of the Dead.
The delusion of a disordered mind, a phantom, a spirit, a ghost. For most of his life, a young man has been pursued by a sinister force. Now he must learn the secret of the ultimate evil. Now it is time for you to come back to me.
Immediately after his demise in the second film, a new tall man emerges from his dimensional fork. At the same time, after being attacked and ejected from the hearse carrying Mike and Liz, a still-alive Reggie watches as the car drives on and explodes. Reggie then finds Liz dead, but saves Mike from the tall man by threatening to kill them all with a grenade. The tall man retreats with Liz's head, but promises to return when Mike is well again. and is now 1988, and after spending 2 years comatose in a hospital, Mike has a near-death experience where his deceased brother Jody appears, but is interrupted by the tall man. Awaking abruptly, he is attacked by a demonic nurse, but manages to quickly subdue her. Reggie then arrives as she dies, her scalp bursting open to reveal a cranial sphere that takes off through the window after witnessing Mike awake. At Reggie's house, the tall man arrives via dimensional fork, fights off Reggie, transforms Jody into a charred sphere, and draws Mike through the gate with him. The next morning, Reggie awakens and begins traveling towards an Idaho town. Jody's sphere muttered, calling it Holtzville. Upon arriving in the deserted town, he is captured by three looters who lock him in the trunk of his 1970s Cuda. Reggie is then rescued by a young boy named Tim, who kills the looters when they break into his house. After they have buried the bodies in the yard, Tim tells Reggie how the tall man took his parents and destroyed the town. In the morning, Reggie and Tim find the three graves empty and their pink hearse gone. Reggie then tries to leave Tim at an orphanage, but the boy hides in the trunk of the car. Reggie then enters a mausoleum and is confronted by a sphere, but he is subdued by two young women, Tanisha and Rocky, before he can destroy it. Reggie tries to warn them, but Tanisha is killed by the sphere, and Tim appears and destroys it with his pistol. The three then join forces, come upon a convoy of hearses driven by gravers, and decide to follow them. At night, Jody appears to Reggie in a dream and takes him to the tall man's lair, where they rescue Mike. As Reggie wakes, Jody opens a portal and Mike emerges. The tall man then tries to follow, but Reggie closes the portal, severing the tall man's hands. After fighting off the tall man's minions, including the undead looters, they enter a large mausoleum in the city of Bolton. They then discover a cryonics facility, and Mike remembers that the tall man dislikes cold. While Reggie, Rocky, and Tim are separated and attacked by the looters, Mike consults with the Jody sphere in a psychic link. Jody explains that the tall man is amassing an army to conquer dimensions, and as he explains, they witness him removing the brain of a newly shrunken dwarf and placing it into a sphere, thus turning the body into a drone and the mind into a killer. The tall man soon senses their presence and manages to recapture Mike. Two of the looters wheel in Tim on a gurney, and Mike tries to tell him of the thousands of spheres he witnessed, but the tall man paralyzes him before he can finish. Meanwhile, Rocky defeats her attacker and helps Reggie. cup free by the Jody sphere, Tim also runs into the remaining looters, who are killed by the Jody sphere and Reggie's four-barreled shotgun. The trio then crash into the embalming room, where the tall man is operating on Mike's head. Rocky impales the tall man with a spear dipped in liquid nitrogen, and they lock him in a freezer. However, a golden sphere breaks out of his head and attacks them. Reggie catches it in a plunger, and they manage to submerge it in a nitrogen tank. Mike then inspects his head wound, which is bleeding yellow blood, and finds a golden sphere beneath the skin. With his eyes like silver spheres and complaining of the cold, he runs away, but not before telling Reggie to stay away from him. Jody then imparts some cryptic words on Reggie and assures him that they'll be in touch before transforming and leaving too. Reggie then suggests exploring the mortuary, but Rocky declines and leaves in a hearse. Tim reports that Mike tried to warn him, but they find out too late that there are thousands of spheres waiting to attack, and Reggie is pinned to the wall by them. He tells Tim it's all over and to just run. And just as Tim is about to take aim with his pistol, a new tall man appears and says it's never over, and watches as Tim is suddenly attacked by a zombie in the freezer, and the movie ends. While a lot of the fans of this franchise don't really like this second sequel, at least that seems to be the consensus online, I actually enjoyed this. It's kind of a different style from the second one, definitely. But I like this one probably the best next to the first film. You can tell that they really had fun with this one, and they really don't take it all that seriously. But that just kind of adds to the fun of this second sequel. Whereas Phantasm 2 kind of tended to try to take itself way too seriously. A lot of the critics also kind of cited as, or kind of cited the zombies that appear in this as a downfall of the series, as well as the humor. Mainly because the zombies were never seen in any of the previous two movies. But I don't really see it that way. I think they kind of added to it, as did the humor as well. The other two, like I said, were kind of trying to take themselves way too seriously. But this one kind of added a little more fun to it with the humor. It's not overdone like the Child's Place franchise did with Bride of Chucky and Seed of Chucky. The humor in this is definitely there, but like I said, it's not completely overdone. They pretty much could have ended the series with this, which in my opinion they should have, but they didn't. But it would have been a lot better if they had. Next up, we have 1998's Phantasm IV, Oblivion.
Phantasm. The delusion of a disordered mind. A phantom. A spirit. A terrifying motion picture experience. For 20 years, the secret of the spheres has remained a mystery. Now, two innocent people are about to confront the ultimate evil.
The final game. I'll begin.
Picking up directly where the previous film left off, Mike flees from Bolton Mortuary in a hearse while Reggie is trapped inside by the Tall Man's fears. Rather than kill Reggie, however, the Tall Man lets him go, saying the final game now begins. Mike's brother Jody, still a black sphere that can occasionally resume his human form, contacts and persuades Reggie to search for Mike. On the way, Reggie survives a demon attack and rescues a woman named Jennifer from a car accident. They stay the night at an abandoned motel where Reggie tells her about the Tall Man, but as it turns out, Jennifer is not who she seems to be. She attacks Reggie with two spheres hidden in her tits. Reggie smashes Jennifer's head and one sphere with a sledgehammer and uses a tuning fork on the other that managed to drill his hand. Mike tries to escape his transformation, driving through abandoned areas, recalling the last days of his youth before the Tall Man's arrival. After being spooked by visions of the elderly fortune teller he consulted years ago, the Tall Man appears and declares he is taking Mike somewhere to prepare for passage. The location is Death Valley, where Mike ultimately attempts suicide by hanging. However, the Tall Man intercedes and shows him conflicting memories of when he and Jody attempted to first kill the Tall Man back in 1978. Forbidden from taking his own life, Mike sees the Tall Man offer his hand, implying he wants to guide him. Refusing, Mike escapes through a dimensional fork, and he appears to have traveled back in time, emerging from an early version of the Gateway into an 1860s-era laboratory. He is greeted by a kind man named Jebediah Morningside, but Mike is frightened away because not only does Jebediah appear to be the Tall Man, but the fortune teller is mysteriously present as well. In a desert, Mike realizes he is slowly developing telekinesis when he kills a dwarf with a large boulder. Jody finally appears, but a distressful Mike accuses him of having abandoned him. Mike then begins working on the hearse's engine, seemingly using parts to build a makeshift sphere. Mike goes through a gate, but finds himself in a deserted city, and escapes a tall man only with Jody's help. Meanwhile, Reggie arrives at Death Valley and fights off a group of dwarfs shortly before Mike and Jody reappear through a gate. Mike then embraces Reggie and tells him not to trust Jody. Mike and Jody then pass through the gate and appear in Jebediah's house. Invisible to the old man, they witness how he perfects his craft and approaches the interdimensional gateway. Mike then unsuccessfully tries to stab Jebediah, who vanishes and moments later is replaced by the tall man incarnation, who emerges in his place. He can see Jody and Mike, forcing Mike to retreat through the gate. Jody then finds Mike in a cemetery and attacks him. Mike then awakens on an embalming slab and uses a tuning fork to immobilize Jody and the tall man as they attempt to cut open his head with the buzzsaw-equipped sphere. He makes the tall man kill Jody with the still-running saw, but the tall man quickly revives and telekinetically takes the fork from Mike. Once again, Mike escapes through the gate back to Death Valley, this time pursued by the tall man. Reggie then tries to shoot, but is overpowered by the tall man. Mike then summons the sphere he built and uses it to impale the tall man in the neck. At this moment, Mike activates the hearse's motor, which turns out to be the true weapon, with it being a strange interdimensional bomb against the tall man. The tall man is once again supposedly vanquished. However, a new tall man immediately comes through the gate, revealing that the tall man is but one of many. The tall man then removes the golden sphere from Mike's head and then passes through the gate. Reggie arms himself and then chases after the tall man through the gate, and Mike recalls a childhood memory of him climbing into Reggie's ice cream truck as they both drive off into the dark night. Oddly enough, both of them hear each other's last exchange of dialogue from the present before Reggie went through the gate. Reggie then asks Mike if he hears a voice, but Mike brushes it off, declaring it as just the wind, and the movie ends. This one is kind of a disappointment in the franchise. A lot of it doesn't make sense, and it just gets kind of confusing with the revelation that the tall man can basically come in from whatever dimension he damn well pleases, even if he's fucking dead in one dimension. Like I said, a whole lot of it doesn't make sense. It's all right for what it is. But like I said about the third film, it would have been a lot better if they had just ended it after Lord of the Dead, because you can tell that the franchise was running out of steam with this movie. And unfortunately, it pretty much was. IMDb gave this a 5.5 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes a 29%. Letterboxd a 2 out of 5. And I give it a 2.3 out of 5. And that brings us to the final chapter of the franchise. And that is 2016's Phantasm Ravager.
Some schools of thought that suggest the possibility that one could be in two places at once.
I can't tell what's real anymore. So I wander, following the tall man's path of destruction. One eye out for those spheres, and the other for him.
He is clearly delusional.
You're not even real. You're my bad dream. My way.
is an amazing story.
Epic, actually.
This begins with Reggie wandering in a desert on foot, having returned from wherever he journeyed to at the end of the previous film. Reggie is then given a ride by a passing motorist who happens to be driving Reggie's Cuda. He throws the thief out, but two spheres suddenly fly by, one killing the thief, while the other pursues Reggie. While fending off the spheres, Reggie suddenly awakens in a hospital much older, in a wheelchair, and suffering from dementia. Mike is with them, and they discuss matters of reality relating to Reggie's condition. In an apparent dream world, Reggie meets a woman who mistakes him for a friend. Her car isn't working, so he offers her a lift. They go to a cabin on a farm, and Reggie learns that a Bulgarian man, Demeter, also works there. Reggie tells her about his dealings with the tall man over the years, and she is amazed by his tale. He tries his usual lady wooing, but is politely rebuffed. Later, the tall man shows up accompanied by his spheres, and Reggie dreams of being in a hospital again, but it appears to be from the 1860s. Jebediah Morningstar, the undertaker/scientist whom the tall man possessed, is lying in the bed next to him, and Jebediah explains he's near death and has lost many friends. However, his demeanor suddenly shifts to the tall man, and Reggie sees the lady in lavender is physically conjoining with him, and they warn him that he cannot escape. The next morning, Reggie looks for the lady he picked up, Don, but finds that she's been killed by spheres. Reggie equips himself with a shotgun, and the spheres force him into a nearby barn. A man wielding an axe confronts him, and it is revealed that he is Demeter. One sphere kills a horse, while another manages to get inside the barn, killing Demeter before Reggie finally fights it off. Reggie speaks to Mike again in the hospital, and Mike tells him about a new threat looming. Back in his dream, Reggie goes through the woods, and along a path, he encounters a gigantic sphere hovering in the sky, and Reggie is back at the hospital once again. Reggie alternates between the other world in both his dream and the present time. The tall man appears and explains how their paths have crossed over time. In 1978, Reggie attended a funeral at Morningside Mortuary, and from that day onward, his life became a nightmare. The tall man then offers to return Reggie's family if he ceases to meddle in his affairs. Reggie is next seen in a mortuary, first contending with dwarves, and then the lady in lavender appears. She is shot by Reggie and seemingly killed, and continuing on, Reggie goes into a large cave, shooting a dwarf, and the place starts to shake. The tall man asks him if he has considered his offer, but when Reggie retaliates, the tall man again reminds him his chances are running out. Reggie wants his friends Jody and Mike back, but the tall man recognizes his loyalty for his friends as foolishness. In yet another fucking dream sequence, which he alternates with the nightmare world, Reggie is strapped to a gurney as armed masked people appear. One is named Chunk, and the other is revealed to be the person Reggie knew as Dawn despite her death, but she says her name is actually Jane, and she thinks Reggie is delusional. She radios in some people. Reggie fails to convince her that they know each other, but she gets him medical attention instead. More dwarfs and gravers then arrive and attack, but Chunk saves him and gives him a weapon. Don and Chunk take Reggie to other members of the group who are fighting the tall man, and Mike is reunited with Reggie, and they escape the hospital. Mike then tells Reggie he's been, quote-unquote, on ice for a decade, making it 1998, and after that, the Earth belongs to the tall man. Once again in the dream world, Reggie wanders around the hospital hallways, but a nurse orders him back to his room. In the nightmare world, an enemy has grabbed Reggie, and a spiked sphere then kills one of the people helping him. Mike visits Reggie at the hospital and says his dream orientates him and reveals he had a dream too where he was in a desert looking for Reggie. Turns out Mike still has this connection to the Tall Man even after his cranial sphere was removed, and Mike explains how the Tall Man unleashed a plague that caused a worldwide apocalypse on society. Jane is then caught by the Tall Man, so Chunk, Mike, and Reggie travel through a dimension fork into his world. On the Red Planet, they confront the Tall Man and his minions, but Jane is killed. Chunk, posing as a dwarf next to the Tall Man, blows himself up to destroy him. And then back at the hospital, Reggie fights Gravers alongside Mike. Jody shows up in Nakuta, fitted with onboard machine guns, to pick them up. And after driving a while, they decide to head north as the Tall Man is repelled by cold. In the dream world, Reggie seemingly passes away with Mike and Jody at his bedside, and the film ends. However, during a mid-credits scene, Chunk appears through a dimension fork along a deserted road, missing a hand, and meets up with Rocky. Chunk flirts with her, asking if he has a chance, and Rocky teases back, saying there are no other guys around. But then the gang pulls up in Nakuta, and they join them. Many giant spheres are seen in the sky, looming over ruined cities, indicating the war with the Tall Man still wages on, and the credits continue rolling on. As far as final chapters and franchises go, this one pretty much fucking sucks. It came out, 18 years after Phantasm Oblivion first came out. So a lot of time had passed. And you'd think that with how, special effects and shit are now, that 18-year difference would have... or that 18-year gap would have made a difference in terms of the effects for this. Unfortunately, it doesn't. And the whole... I'm trying to think of how to put this. The whole jumping in between real life and dream sequences, back again, back and forth, back and forth. It all gets fucking confusing, and eventually you have no idea what the fuck is going on and what it's supposed to be real and what isn't. Unfortunately, this would be Angus Scrimm's last go-around as a Tall Man, as he died before this movie was even released in January of 2016 due to prostate cancer at the age of 89. And much like Donald Pleasance with The Curse of Michael Myers, this really wasn't a fitting end for Scrimm's career. And again, much like Donald Pleasance in Curse of Michael Myers, you could tell that Scrimm really wasn't doing all that well health-wise. He looks pretty rough in this, and you could tell that the end was coming pretty soon. For the last couple years, there has been talks and rumors, the first Phantasm being remade. Fortunately, that hasn't happened because, like I said, the first one is rightly considered a cult classic, and I really think they'd fuck it up if they tried to remake it. It would probably pull a Friday the 13th, 2009, and try to cram all three movies into one, or first three movies into one, and just completely make a fucking clusterfuck out of it. So I really hope that they don't make a remake, and if they do remake this, that they actually make a good one. IMDb gives us a 4.9 out of 10, Rotten Tomatoes a 57%, Letterboxd a 2.5 out of 5, and I give it a 2.2 out of 5. And that just wraps it up for the... Jesus Christ, I can't talk tonight. That just about wraps it up for this episode. I forgot to mention at the top of the episode that after following a suggestion made by A.K. Herrera near the end of the one-year anniversary episode, me and Jerry have now started a side project musically together called Starship Poopers. It's a parody electronic band. We haven't released anything yet. We are currently working on our first album. Jerry is hard at work writing the lyrics, and I have recorded about 6 full music tracks for it. So be looking for that at some point. Maybe not soon, but in the near future. And that wraps it up, guys. As always, you can reach me at darksyde9034@gmail.com. And that's it, guys. I'm Dustin, and this has been Tombs of Horror. I'll see you next time.